Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Word of Wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It's always a privilege and an honor to go before the people of God as we fellowship one with another, the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith. And I thank God for allowing me this opportunity, because everything and all of the service that you provide by God, God provided the opportunity. And that's why I say thank you. And I thank each and every one of you that took time out of your busy schedule to come and join in the fellowship where we could be on one accord concerning the things of God. And tonight our title of the lesson is, God uses our stories for his glory. We're coming from the book of John, the ninth chapter, the first through the 34th verse. And as always, I'm going to play a song, and we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace, and then we're going to expound on the word of God together. The title of the song is, You Don't Know My Story.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest.
You cannot imagine.
The strongholds and the walls that
you
love
and peace.
You think you know, but let me tell it.
Life and favor upon me.
God, thank you for your mercy.
God of mercy.
And you love me. Life and favor upon me. Oh, how wondrous.
Life and favor upon me.
You wouldn't believe my real testimony. Can't imagine. Some people, they walked out on me and they gave up on me, said I wouldn't make it, but God broke me out. If you only knew, you'd understand why I praise like this. Come on, can we take it up?
Hallelujah. The title of that song is You Don't Know My Story. And I chose that song because as we get into the lesson and explore the Word of God, we're going to realize some things. You don't know my story. And at this time, it's time for us to go to the throne of grace where mercy can be found. God is affording the opportunity at this time for anyone who would like to pray. You can press the one button on your phone and bring us to God's throne. God is giving the opportunity and making it available that everyone can participate because this is our Bible study. So if you would like to pray, press the one button. The button has been pressed, and it's Minister Paula Cloud. Your mic is open.
Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, we come before you today to hear a word from on high. Lord, thank you for your word that you left, Father God, for a roadmap, for a compass, for a guide. Lord, we thank you that you thought enough of us to leave us an instruction book and a manual for our daily living. Now, Lord, don't let these words fall on deaf ears. Let us retain it and share it with someone else. Lord, this is my prayer on today. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and thank God.
Thank you so much, Minister Paula. Thank you for that prayer, for that intercession for our study on tonight. God's honor. Your prayer, and I thank you so very much. Well, it's time to get busy in the Word. The title of our lesson, I'll say it again because other callers has called in. Hallelujah. The title of our lesson is God Uses Our Stories for His Glory. And we're coming from John, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 34. As always, I like to give a little background or introduction to lead us into the lesson. And tonight I decided to talk about the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. That nothing happens unless God orchestrates or allows it. And we're going to see some testimony in this lesson on tonight. So I want you to know nothing happens unless God, like I say, orchestrates or allows. You see, when I make this statement, I'm saying that God is in total control. And he can do what he wants, when he wants, for whom he wants to. You see, we should start this lesson tonight off, because I want us that when it's all over to have great clarity. And I'm asking that the Holy Ghost give us the truth, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we could put it in our heart and use it for our journey as we follow Christ. So I looked at Jeremiah 29 and 11, and it say, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expecting end." You see, when we take this scripture, God gave this to the prophet Jeremiah for the people. But we all know, or should know, that what God told them in the Bible is for us as well. So God told Jeremiah to tell the people that he knows them. Matter of fact, that God had a master plan before the foundation of the world. And when he created us for his glory. He created us to be partakers in the body of Christ and live in the moral rim of God's kingdom here on earth. And he gave all of us assignments and tasks that we should do, that the body of Christ would operate fully and effectively in the things of God. So with Jeremiah 29 and 11, God is telling you, he already gave us the expected end before our birth, before we was placed in our mother's womb. Psalms 139 speaks of how God took his hand and put it inside of our mother's womb, and he wove together our inner parts. So if we got that out of the way and we really believe it, because we got to believe it to achieve it, that God was before we was. And God had a plan for all of us, which is his will. And God's will is going to be done. You see, God's sovereignty is one of the most important principles in Christian theology. You see, most Christians agree, and all Christians should agree, that God has all power and authority. God has all power because his attributes is the natural consequences of his nature. You see, to know God, you got to understand his attributes and his nature. You see, God is omniscient. You know, that means he know all things. He knew everything about you before you was born. He knew when your daddy would plant the seed in your mama's womb. He knew the numbers of hairs that you would have on your head before you were born. He even knew who all would accept him. And he began working in your life to get that extended purpose, that inspected purpose that he had designed, because he knew what you would do. God knew you was going to call words of wisdom tonight. God already knows nothing that happens taken by surprise. You see, he's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipotent. That's all power. And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. And that's what makes him sovereign. You see, when we speak of sovereignty of God, We are saying that he rules the universe, that he created however he wants to. See, we have to get out the way and let God have his way, because God told us, look, I got this. He said, and I'm going to do what you need done. He said, but sometimes you got to get yourself out of the way and trust me. You see, when you begin to trust God wholeheartedly, you begin to allow and let God do his thing. You step back and let God work in you and through you. You see, the sovereignty of God, which is his absolute right to do all things according to his own pleasure. You know, there's a scripture in Philippians 2 and 13 that says, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure. See, God didn't even let it be up to us to struggle to try to please him. Look what the scripture says. I'm going to read it again. For it is God which worketh in you to will. That means to give you the desire. And to do, that's giving you the ability to do his good pleasure. So God is going to give you the desire to want to do it. And then he's going to give you the provisions and ability to do it. The scripture said that God has provided everything that we will ever need to live a righteous life. And then when we say God has sovereign control in the universe, which is to say that nothing in the universe occur without God's permission. Don't ever get it twisted. Yes, God has allowed the prince of the air, which is called Satan, to have his time here on earth. You know, many people get hung up with that when you say Satan is control of the world. Now you got to remember, the world definition in the body is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's Satan. That's not God's hand. But Satan can only do so much. He is limited. And God is allowing him to have his way. And God is going to put a stop when he wants to put a stop, because he could do it. Y'all remember Job? Every time he got ready, Satan got ready to do something to Job, he had to go back to God. And after he had done all he could do that God would, listen at this, that God will allow him to do, you don't hear nothing else about Satan in the book of Job. Satan packed up and left and went to the next one to see who he could destroy. Hallelujah, y'all. You see, God has the power and knowledge to prevent anything he chooses. You know, when the pandemic started, many people speak with such authority. And I was asked the question many times, Sister Diane, did God put the virus here for A, B, C, or D? You know, like they'll say, God did this to get the people attention, and God did this to do this, and God did this to do that. And like I told everyone, and I say, and I don't know if God orchestrated the virus or he allowed it. Because if he orchestrated, he had a reason. And if he didn't orchestrate it and he allowed it, he had a reason. They say God's thoughts is higher than us, than the sky is from the dew on the ground. Many people think they got the mind of God in their head and they know just what God is all about. God says so many things about him we'll never understand. And we'll learn more by and by when we get on the other side. So, you know, we can't be quick to say what God did. Y'all remember Katrina? When we went to them different places and they wanted to preach on us and point fingers that God allowed New Orleans because it was the sin city. And not so long after that, they had a tsunami somewhere. And after that, they had flooding somewhere. You know, they wanted to tell us that we was punished because of our sins. in the city of New Orleans. Did God orchestrate Katrina? You think God went around and broke the levees? I don't know. But I know if he didn't orchestrate it, he allowed it. And you see, when you realize anything that happens in your life, if you could just say, God, if you're orchestrating, I pray that I line up with your will. And if he didn't orchestrate it, but he's allowing it, you say, God, I understand. But God, it is well if God is allowing it, because the trust factor overrules all of these things. You got to trust him in the good times and trust him in the bad times and trust him when everything is looking good and when everything is looking bad, because God is in control. And you see, you got to understand this part with the title of the lesson. God orchestrates some things, and then he allows some things in our lives. And the stories, God used that to work all things out together for your good, to get you into that intended purpose that Jeremiah 29 and 11 is speaking about. Some of you will never be where you are today if certain things wouldn't have happened to you along the way. Come on now, y'all. God know what he's doing. You know, and all of us who figure we had these dysfunctional families, and I look around and most families, all families seem to be dysfunctional to the degree what they call dysfunction, but God brought us through all of it. God made us strong. God gave us the ability to be compassionate. God let us go through certain trials, tribulation, adversities that we, if we went through it, that we could be compassionate to the next one going through it. And even some of our shortcomings that's in our lives, drug addictions, bad habits that we have, yes, God could move it and he could take it. But sometimes he allowed it so that you could be compassionate going forward. He might have to put you in a compassionate position. Come on, y'all. That you'll be able to understand the people. You see, anybody that never went through anything don't have a testimony. And it's not that much they could tell somebody when they're going through. Come on, y'all. God uses our story for his glory. You see, God has the ability to do anything, to take control and intervene in any situation. Please know that. He can. You know, it reminds me of the story of the Hebrew boys when they was fixing to be placed in a fiery furnace, and the king that was doing it had invested a lot of money, time, and effort, and he liked the Hebrew boys. So he didn't want him to go in a fiery furnace. He didn't want his investment to be lost. So he told him, and he asked him, he said, how do you know that your God is going to deliver y'all? The Hebrew boys say, we don't know if he's going to deliver us. He said, but one thing we know, he can. See, that's how we have to look at God. God is not going to take and throw away, not throw away, but just deliver you from every situation, every time, at your time frame. You got to remember that God has reasons and seasons. But we're going to let him have his way. You got to let him have his way. I'll put it like this. You don't have to let him have his way. God will have his way because his will is going to be done. And nothing's going to stop it, and nothing's going to block it. And God doesn't make mistakes. So as we go through this life in this world we live in right now, which it seems to be one of the worst in a long time, not history, I'm sure, because there's nothing new under the sun. But as we go through these trying times, if we wake up to each day with an attitude of gratitude, realizing that nothing that's going to happen today is going to take God by surprise. And then you pat yourself on the back for the love that you know God has for you. And then you could just be all right. And you could trust God and rely on God. Hold on to the confession of your faith and keep it moving. God's got this. We don't get to pick the outcome. It's not so much what we go through, but it's who we go through it with. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. And like I said, God has the ability to do anything, to take action and intervene in any situation, but he often chooses to act indirectly or to allow certain things for certain reasons of his own. Have your way, God. He is absolute in authority and unrestricted, for he is the supreme being. You see, everything that happened is, and at the very least, the result of God's will. This holds true if certain specific things, certain things are not what he would prefer. You know, God didn't orchestrate all things, and he wouldn't have preferred it that way. But then he allow it. You see, if God orchestrates or allows, he promised that he would do like Romans 8:28 says, that he will work all things out together for the good to them that love him, to them that are called according to his purpose. So the question I could ask you tonight, do you love God? Do you want to be obedient and follow and be led by the Holy Spirit? And if you answer yes to these questions, I can guarantee you that it's going to be all right. God is our present help, and help is always on the way. Just like God got us through all of our life experiences, and some of them are horrible, he will bring us through this as well. So we're going to look at the scripture tonight, John, the 9th chapter, if you have your Bible. We're going to start at the first verse, and we're going to go all the way to the 31st. And the scripture reads as follows. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God would be made manifested in him. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. You see, when we look at this, that man was blind from birth. He didn't go out there and get a disease. He didn't do this. He didn't do that, you know, because many times people may cause a calamity. But he was blind from birth. He didn't have nothing to do with it. And his parents either. You see, a common belief in the Jewish culture was that a calamity or suffering was the result of some great sin. They always associated sin with trouble. You know, when Job's friends came to him, his three friends, and they kept asking him, what sin did he do that caused all of this hardship on him? And Job said, I might have sinned, but he said, I ain't do no sin this great to cause this much repercussion. Little did his friends know that it was only a test. You see, sometimes our story and the events of our story seem so hard. See, God uses the suffering and the pain sometime to mature us. You see? Sometime he uses as a test. And here we see the blindness of this man was that he would be healed at that particular time for those particular reasons and that season. You see, God set up. You know, we talk about wherever God guides, he also provides. See, God knew he wanted Jesus to do miracles. And he provided the situation, come on, y'all, and opportunities for Jesus to be able to do what he needed to do that God would get the glory. You see, that blind man is listed in the Bible, which is honor. You see, he was blind and he probably, you know, wasn't looked at very much as anything. But he, we all know his name, but he is in the Bible. Hallelujah. See, God, Jesus, was using a man suffering to teach about faith and to glory God. We live in a fallen world where good behavior is not always rewarded. So if plenty of you are real good about a lot of things and nice, sweet, and kind, it's not always rewarded. And bad behavior not always punished. Do that make God an unjust God? No, that makes God a sovereign God in control, and he do it the way he feels. Therefore, innocent people sometimes suffer. I'll go back to Katrina. I don't know if God orchestrated or he just allowed it. But they had a lot of unsaved people's houses didn't get wet. And they had a lot of Christian houses got wet. So God is still in control. God is still good and God is still perfect. And God worked out all kind of things for people. They were made more whole after Katrina than they was before. Because God was working it out together. Hallelujah, y'all. If God took suffering away whenever we asked, we would follow him for comfort and convenience. Y'all know that. Like he'll be a trick. We would follow him for comfort and convenience. We tell him to move it, he move it. And then he's got to do what we want. He's got to do what we want him to do when we want it to do it. We want all of our emergency to become his urgency. And yet we'll get to do whatever we want, how we want towards him. Think about it. There is always a reason for every season under the sun. I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me. And it's never our will, but the will of the Father. And God uses everything he created for his glory. You see, Jesus takes time and shifts the focus, and instead of addressing the cause of the man's blindness, he speaks of his purpose. And this is what the scriptures say, so that the work of God, the healings and, you know, feeding the 5,000. See, Jesus' ministry was only 3 years, and God wanted to get the most bang for his buck. You see, God used miracles, but he had to set it up. And they had this blind man in place for Jesus to do this today, that day. Come on, y'all. We should not be concerned with assigning blame, trying to figure out the source of suffering in an individual life. It's really futile, given our limited understanding. And we got to remember sometimes it's just a test they may be, God is bringing them through. And we done nail them to the cross. God always allows it for our good. And he uses our story for his glory. It's never what you're going through, but who you're going through it with. Jesus had to help us deal with it. Can you believe it? You know, Joseph's story, he was sold by his brothers and mother was feeling bad. But God raised him up to be the second in command. See, God had a purpose for him being put in a pit. And even after being put in a pit, he went to jail for, I think, I'm not exactly sure, 13 years. God's plan. He needed to get in a pit to be sold, to be brought to Egypt, because Egypt was where God was going to do what he was going to do to save his chosen nation, the Israelites. And he decided to use Joseph. And then you see sometime, and I'm not sure, but you see Joseph was the favorite of his father. His father had made him a coat of many colors. And Joseph might have had the big head. So God might have let him sit in the jailhouse so he could teach him and to get him humble and to help him to understand and the grooming for his job. You see what I'm saying? The jailhouse. It had a purpose because he was an innocent man. But God allowed it. But God used it for his glory. God allowed many things. And he used it for his glory. When you suffer from a disease, a tragedy, a disability, try not to ask why this happened to me. What did I do or not do? Instead, ask God to give you strength for the trial and a clear perspective on what is happening. This man or his parents had no control of how he was born. But we see here God has a reason and it is now manifested in that season. His story, the blind man, God got the glory. There is no such cause and effect here. You know, we are taught in a world that everything has a cause and effect. There's no cause and effect here, only the will of the Father. You see, look instead for what God can do. This is what God wants us to do in every situation of our lives. Stop telling our problems. Stop telling God about how big our problems is and start speaking to your problem about how big your God is. Trust him because he knows best. He uses every aspect of our life experiences, our failures, our successes, our shortcomings, our suffering as an occasion for the manifestation of God's glory and purpose. Scripture describes four types of suffering viewed in terms of cause of perfect purpose. First, suffering is a proving, a testing of your faith. How God know how you're going to act unless you have a little hard time. It's good to have faith when everything is going good. But soon as they get one little wrinkle in it, people have decided to get mad at God and walk away and charge God for their suffering. Why you let my mama die? And they talking about their mama and their mama 97. And yet my mama died when I was 11. And she was 36. Second, suffering meant for improvement, making us mature. God has to use that tool of suffering. You know, somebody don't, sometimes people don't look for God until they hit, like the world say, rock bottom, and they have to look up. God uses it for our edification as well. When we walk through the fire and come out like pure gold, ha, shanda, la, shanda. Third, suffering as punishment for sin. And that's true. Some things we are in our sufferings is caused by our own actions, and we have to collect the consequences of those sins. And fourth, suffering that shows God's glory. You see, 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Watch this. That after we have suffered for a while. So if you're suffering right now, the scripture says for a while. And after that, he will make you perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. Keep it moving, y'all. God didn't bring you this far to leave you. Keep pressing towards the mark of the prize for the high call, which is Christ Jesus. Get out the way and let God have his way. Take your lickings and keep on ticking. God's got this. And verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of a spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. 7, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which had seen him that he was blind, said, is this not he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, yes, I am he. Look how people do, y'all. Now, they saw it with their own eyes and trying to discredit it. 10, therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went, washed, and I received sight. You see, it's amazing that even though some people saw with their own eyes, didn't believe. They said that it was the beggar, someone that looked like him. And a man said, no, it is I. You see, people sometimes can't see the forest for the trees in others' life. They rather hate than congratulate. They want to take and minimize your success or your glory or your deliverance because they figure you ain't ready or you don't deserve it. You remember Jonah when he had to go to Nineveh? He didn't want to go. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But watch this. The things that God is working out in your life, people may not understand it, first of all, and plenty of them don't appreciate it. You see, your story should give you evidence of God's power, how he worked it out for your good. And if he did it then, he could do it again. How could you know God as a healer if he never healed your body? How you don't know him as a mind regulator when your mind is always intact? Come on, y'all. You see, he don't want us to learn from our story, but the stories of others. If he did it for them, he can do it for us, because God has no respect to person. And verse 12, and they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees. Y'all know the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all of that. They brought him to the Pharisees that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, how had he received his sight? He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I wash, and now I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not a man of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Others say, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that opened thine eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. See, this lets you know that the man didn't know nothing about, that much about Jesus, but he knew enough. And he had gained faith, y'all. And that faith he had maybe was the size of a mustard seed. But he's standing on a conviction. He says he's a prophet. He said he healed my eyes. You see, Jesus did what he had to do. He healed the man and he kept it moving. The man was asked, where is he? And he said, I don't know. Sometimes you do something for others and want the whole world to know. You stay and wait, wish and hope to receive the praise and glory which only belongs to God. They went and got the Pharisees, who should be able to shed some light on the matter. They wanted to know when and how it happened. It happened on a Sabbath day, which to them was a sin. Now, this man's eyes got all the way that were blind. This man received his sight. But because Jesus did it on a Sabbath day. You know, if we look around, there's so many people out here like this, like that now. You do one thing and they want to disqualify you from being a man or a woman of God or even a Christian. They say that Jesus healed a man's eye on the Sabbath. And they say he can't be a man of God because he's a sinner. That's putting God in a box. See, the Pharisees knew the law, but they didn't know love. They had minimal understanding of the hand of God and how he operates because they wanted to make up all of the rules themselves. You see, verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. Now, I'm talking about the Jews, the ones that Jesus had been teaching, until they called the parent of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then do he see now? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. By what means he now see, we know not. Or who opened his eyes, we know not. But he's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. You see, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he is Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said the parents, he's of age, ask him. Come on, y'all. You see, they was trying to discredit the work that Jesus has done. They wanted to prove that this was not possible. The parents proved that this was their son, blind and now see. They did not say who did it, how he did it, but that it is done. He told him, go ask him for yourself. You see in verse 24 and further. Then again called they the man that was blind and said it to them. They ain't giving up, y'all. Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, I now see. Then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? He opened thy eyes. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Therefore, would you hear it again if I said it? He's almost telling him, will you also be his disciples? He said, I'm telling you what the man did. Are you willing to believe and accept? He said, will you also be his disciples? Now, you see, he done put a little guard on them. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake to Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why hear then in this marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened my eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of a God and do his will, him he heareth. Come on now. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? It's a blind man. He done went into preaching, y'all. He said, you ever heard from the beginning of the world anybody that was blind and not see before this man came? He said, since the world began. He said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. That man with that faith, the size of a mustard seed, see, God used that miracle to lead others to salvation. There's somewhere in the Bible said that God wasn't so interested in the miracles and stuff, but he allowed Jesus to do that so he could get not so much recognition, but get the people to see the power of God. Hallelujah, y'all. And so I'm going to read 33 again and then 34. If this man was not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wasn't altogether born in sin, and do it thou teach us. Let me read that again. They answered him after he told them and said unto them, thou wasn't altogether born in sin, and do thou teach us? And then they cast him out. He held on to the conviction of that little faith he had just gained. He didn't back down. So many times Christians have been on the battlefield for 50 and 100 years. You get an opportunity to be of service to God and you back down. This man stood on a confession of the little faith he had. You see, they were interrogating him like attorneys in a court. They're asking the same questions over and over again, trying to get him to deny his statement. He stated he did not know how or why he was healed, but he knew that his life had been miraculously changed. Hallelujah. They say when you meet Jesus, your life won't be the same. He received natural sight, but he also received the spiritual light. See, Jesus made him whole. He gave him a physical healing and a spiritual healing. Jesus told him, I'm the light of the world. You see, you don't need all of the answers to the questions in order to share Jesus with others. Just tell him that what he has done is doing and promised to do for you. Then trust that God will use your story, which is your testimony, for his glory, helping others to believe. He was severely tested by the authorities, but he held on to his newfound faith. So new, and yet so powerful. And when God tells us we only need the faith the size of a mustard seed, this is what he's saying. It's enough to save you. It's enough to guarantee eternal life. It's enough. Remember, no one can take the eternal life that Jesus has given you. They can't measure your faith and decide if you can or you can't. You see, this man, when he recognized Jesus as the prophet, he received everything that he needed. He received his sight, but he received so much more. His being blind was a part of God's master plan to be revealed at the appointed time for his glory. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any comments? Anybody want to talk about it? God has given this forum to us that we can. Anyone? Well, if no one else has anything they would like to add, you know, sometimes you could add something to the lesson and others that's listening could understand it better from you than the way I said it. Or you may say it a little bit different, maybe even clearer, where someone could understand. But that's our lesson for tonight. So I'm going to give another opportunity. Just like God keeps giving us opportunity, I will continue to give opportunities as long as God allow me to be in a position to offer opportunities. And at this time, since we're going to close for tonight, anybody would like to do a benediction, you could press your one button. So we'll go ahead and close with 2 Peter